The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Tonight, the new developments in the Tiger Woods crash investigation and how he got out alive. The sheriff today saying Woods is not expected to face charges in that rollover crash. The golf legend awake and responsive after emergency surgery. How close he came to losing his leg. At the scene, no signs of skid marks or braking. What caused him to crash? And his long road to recovery. Can one of the world's greatest athletes stage another comeback? New hope in the race to vaccinate. The FDA saying Johnson & Johnson's one-shot COVID vaccine is safe and effective. Could it receive authorization within days? And the White House's ambitious new plan to send 25 million masks to those in need, plus the historic delivery in the mission to vaccinate the world. A major new setback for one of President Biden's cabinet picks. Will it sink her nomination? Our NBC News investigation, the alleged Capitol rioter accused of stealing Nancy Pelosi's laptop, the disturbing new video from a white supremacist chat group. Is there an unwanted surprise in your credit report, the errors on the rise in the pandemic, and how to protect yourself? And the changemaker astronaut, inspiring a new generation to reach for the stars.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. It's the natural next question as we learn the extent of Tiger Woods' injuries from that violent car crash yesterday. Is his storied golf career over? Fans tonight saying, don't count Tiger out. The golf icon and superstar athlete remains hospitalized tonight with serious leg injuries. So severe, we now know he could have lost one to amputation. We'll hear from our own Dr. Torres shortly about the risk of this kind of recovery. Also tonight, we may be just days away from a third COVID vaccine getting the green light. We'll tell you what makes this one so different and how it measures up to the others. And that news comes as a California strain of the virus emerges. We'll tell you why that's fueling new concerns this evening. But let's begin with Miguel Almaguer and the latest on the Tiger Woods crash.
Just look at that vehicle and literally broke apart there.
Just miles from where Tiger Woods rolled his SUV multiple times and where first responders pulled him through his windshield, the 45-year-old golfing legend is alert and responsive at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Before undergoing emergency surgery, Woods could have lost his right leg, crushed in the crash.
When he came out of the vehicle on a stretcher, I was able to notice that he was injured pretty severely.
Suffering significant orthopedic injuries, Woods had open fractures affecting the tibia and fibula bones, which were stabilized by inserting a rod into his leg. Injuries to the foot and ankle were also stabilized with screws and pins. Airbags stained with blood and a seat belt likely saved his life.
I will say that it's very fortunate that Mr. Woods was able to come out of this alive.
Deputy Carlos Gonzalez found Woods trapped but conscious in his car. Showing no signs of impairment, firefighters used an axe to extract him.
I heard a big boom.
Authorities say Woods may have been traveling faster than the speed limit when he crossed the center divide and plowed into an embankment.
No skid marks, no braking. So apparently the first contact was with the center median.
The road where Tiger Woods lost control is steep and windy. It's not uncommon for drivers, especially those going downhill, to exceed the speed limit.
Headed to a golf course outside Los Angeles for another day of filming with celebrities, news of the serious accident spread quickly. Fellow athletes, former presidents, and friends learning the news. After previous incidents of trouble behind the wheel, including a guilty plea for reckless driving, Woods won the Masters in 2019.
The return to glory.
He was eyeing yet another comeback after his fifth back surgery in January. Tonight, Tiger Woods is lucky to be alive, an accident that spared his life but could still end his storied career.
Miguel joining us now from the hospital. Miguel, what's the latest on Tiger's condition and the investigation?
Lester, Woods is still listed in serious but stable condition. As for the investigation, investigators are looking to pull that black box from the car. It could tell them how fast Tiger was going and if he drifted out of his lane, perhaps wasn't paying attention. Lester.
All right, Miguel Almaguer in California tonight. Let me bring in now Dr. John Torres. John, tell us more about the seriousness of these kinds of injuries and what Tiger Woods faces potentially.
Lester, each one of these injuries to his right leg is serious, but when you combine all of them together, even more so. So he's got a long road ahead of him. And right now the doctors are looking at making sure that he can walk. He can do those things he wants to do during the day, like play with his kids. That's the best case scenario at this point. Even beyond that, though, is trying to get him back to competitive golf. That is a bit of a stretch, but this is Tiger Woods we're talking about, and he's surprised us in the past.
All right, John, thanks. And Mike Tirico of NBC Sports is following this. Tiger Woods is no stranger to comebacks, but to Dr. John's point, this isn't going to be easy, will it?
No doubt, Lester. He's already come back from significant leg injuries. This is a far different story because of the complexity Dr. John just outlined. On top of that, Tiger Woods just a couple of months ago had his fifth procedure on his back. Add the age as well. He is 45. Wouldn't be playing golf again until 46 or 47. That's not the time when most golfers play their best golf. But as Dr. John alluded to, if anyone can, Tiger would be the one who could.
A lot of people rooting for him. Mike, thank you. The country, as I said at the top of the newscast, is close to having a third COVID vaccine authorized by the FDA, which would mean millions more doses. So far, more than 44 million Americans have received at least one dose. About 55,000 are hospitalized. With more, here's Tom Costello.
The data released today by Johnson & Johnson suggests its vaccine would provide serious new firepower in the war against COVID. The vaccine, it says, was 72% effective in the United States at preventing COVID, far better than the yearly flu vaccine. While Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines are 95% effective, J&J's candidate was also 82% effective against the dangerous South African strain and 100% effective at preventing COVID-related hospitalizations and deaths, a single dose that can be stored in a normal refrigerator. Already, FDA staff have endorsed the vaccine. Now an outside advisory panel will decide whether to approve emergency use authorization, or EUA.
If the EUA is granted, we will waste no time getting this life-saving vaccine into the arms of Americans.
J&J says it's prepared to ship 4 million doses immediately, 20 million by the end of March. Dr. Dan Baruch led much of the vaccine research at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
All of these vaccines are highly safe and highly effective, and people should get the first vaccine they're offered.
J&J says it has no reports of allergic reactions. Already, Pfizer and Moderna say they're on track to administer 3 million daily doses by April. Adding the Johnson vaccine would ramp that up even further. Tonight, more mass vaccination sites are opening up. In Texas, Georgia, Massachusetts, and New York, just as researchers in San Francisco report finding a more contagious homegrown strain of the virus, more resistant to COVID antibodies. Now, Moderna says it's sending the NIH a new version of its vaccine and a booster, which could protect against the South African variant. And tonight, the Biden administration says it is shipping more than 25 million cloth masks to people in low-income areas who struggle to buy protective gear. Lester.
All right, Tom, thanks. And tomorrow we'll have my interview with the CEO of Pfizer about its vaccine, including protection against the new variants. This was a milestone day in the ambitious effort to get 2 billion doses of vaccine to the developing world. Here's Cynthia McFadden with that.
It's been called the largest logistical undertaking in history. And in the wee hours of this morning, it finally began.
Today we are in Ghana, and this is really a historic moment.
As 600,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine arrived in the African nation. The first vaccine to be delivered is part of a massive effort led by the World Health Organization and UNICEF called COVAX to send at least 2 billion doses of vaccine to the world's poorest nations.
If one country is left unvaccinated, this disease will bounce back and forth.
The vaccine was shipped directly from the largest vaccine manufacturer in the world in India. In each of the COVAX countries, healthcare workers will be the first to be inoculated. Hundreds of thousands of syringes also arrived in Ghana, shipped from a massive UNICEF warehouse in Dubai. Meanwhile, overnight, 100,000 syringes arrived in the Maldives, which will soon get their vaccine allotment.
Certainly a down payment on hope. But consider this. So far, about 200 million vaccines have been administered, but nearly half of those to only two countries, China and the U.S. That leaves more than 100 countries that haven't administered a single dose. Lester?
Cynthia McFadden tonight. Thank you. In just 60 seconds, one of President Biden's key nominees facing some political headwinds. And Richard Engel with an exclusive new reporting on the Capitol attack.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
President Biden's nominee for a key cabinet role is in jeopardy tonight. Our Kristen Welker is at the White House. Kristen, what's the latest?
Lester, tonight, President Biden's pick for budget director Neera Tanden is now the first cabinet nominee to be facing real peril, the Senate postponing two votes today, as it appears Tanden does not have enough support to be confirmed, with at least one Democrat joining Republicans in opposition. Critics pointing to her past incendiary tweets, including calling Mitch McConnell Voldemort and claiming, quote, Russia did a lot to help Bernie Sanders' campaign. Opponents arguing those attacks run counter to the president's calls for unity. I pressed the White House press secretary today. She insists the president stands by Tanden. Meanwhile, the White House tonight is privately considering other backup options. Lester.
All right, Kristen, thanks for the update. New details and new video of a Capitol rioter accused of stealing Nancy Pelosi's laptop. Our Richard Engel with an NBC News investigation and a warning, some of the language is disturbing.
This is 22-year-old Riley Williams from Pennsylvania in the Capitol on January 6th, according to the FBI. Upstairs is Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office. Inside, a female voice the FBI believes to be Williams seems excited.
I'm in Nancy. Where are
you? On the desk is Pelosi's HP laptop. The same voice tells others to treat it carefully.
Dude, put on gloves.
According to the FBI, a witness claims Williams stole the laptop and intended to send the computer device to a friend in Russia to be passed to Russian intelligence. Williams turned herself in to authorities shortly after the Capitol assault. An NBC News investigation can reveal tonight this is also Riley Williams expressing neo-Nazi sympathies.
There is no political solution. All that is left is acceleration. Hail Hitler.
NBC News, along with the investigative group Bellingcat, verified the masked video found on an encrypted white supremacist chat group. Williams' social media accounts, now deleted, were also full of support for white nationalism. Williams faces charges of unlawful entry and aiding and abetting the theft of government property.
Williams' lawyer told us tonight the video was meant as an internet joke intended to mock Nazis, but he wouldn't confirm or deny his client was in it. Lester?
All right, Richard Engel, thanks. Let's turn our attention back now to Texas, where millions have spent a week without water after that historic winter blast. Morgan Chesky is there.
Tonight, Texans caught somewhere between relief and reality.
I'm looking for groceries, for water.
We're not able to take showers. We just want to get back to normal.
In Dallas, families forced to use a fire hydrant for fresh water. 3 million people still without reliable water. Countless others waiting for repairs. The problem's so bad, leaders are urging out-of-state plumbers to help by waiving restrictions.
We are swamped right now.
Maria Ramirez doing all she can for her three kids after her apartment flooded. The kid's father punching through a wall to shut the water off. The latest struggle? Finding groceries. with some stores struggling to restock.
Can you even describe what the past week's been like?
Scary to not know that we weren't prepared for this. I don't think anybody was prepared for this.
In Houston, the mayor stressing recovery far from over.
The worst of the storm is still lingering for people who are already on the margins.
Today, at an emergency meeting, a frightening admission from ERCOT, which runs the state power grid.
We are definitely in a dangerous condition and one that we have to respond to.
The agency saying at one point during the winter storm, power supply dipped so low, they were 4 minutes and 37 seconds from a total statewide blackout. Tonight, six ERCOT board members have resigned. All of them live out of state.
And with growing calls for accountability, we've learned the Texas State Supreme Court is expected to decide whether ERCOT has sovereign immunity or can be sued for failing Texans. Lester.
All right, Morgan Chesky, thanks. We want to turn now to our series State of the Struggle and our new report from a Texas town where a viral video led to a reckoning over race and sparked a battle still being fought more than 2 years later. We get more from Antonia Hilton.
Beneath the surface of idyllic South Lake, Texas, is what Robin Cornish says is a troubling reality.
It looks real, real, real pretty aesthetically, but there's some things about this town that are real, real ugly.
South Lake, which is just 2% black, was thrust into the national spotlight in 2018 after a video of students shouting the N-word went viral.
I see it and my mouth is open, but I'm not shocked because it's been a long-standing issue in South Lake.
At first, outrage over the video seemed to unify the community. Parents and school officials spent more than 2 years developing district-wide diversity and inclusion trainings.
We got to a point to where we were ready to present the plan to the school board is when the fear set in from the general public.
In August, a group of parents raised more than $100,000 to fight the plan, arguing it isn't necessary and the school could just punish students with its existing code of conduct. They flooded school board meetings to object.
I think that every incident should be investigated to the fullest to find out exactly what's going on. But no one has any basis to make assumptions about what is in another person's heart. But at the same time, kids are going to make stupid mistakes.
Then, this week, NBC News received a new video. This time, a middle schooler saying the N-word and laughing. The district told NBC News that while it could not discuss any details, this type of action and behavior will not be tolerated.
South Lake is at a crossroads. A judge has issued a restraining order halting work on the diversity plan, and school board elections are coming in the spring. Black families worry the window to make this right is closing.
One of those families is Nikki Olaleyes. She's a senior at the high school.
What happens to black kids when they go through school systems where they don't feel entirely at home?
I think that it strips them of their identity, and I think that they leave a shell of the person that they once were.
Do people here understand that?
I think they do.
That black people want to get out?
Oh, yeah, I think they do. And I think that, in a way, that's part of what they want.
Cornish, who has five children, decided not to wait. So after nearly three decades, she left South Lake.
I just really want them to really think about, is this a tradition that you really want to protect? Is this the story that you really want this town to tell?
A decision she says she made to protect her own family. Antonia Hilton, NBC News, South Lake, Texas.
And up next for us tonight, checking in on your credit. With all the challenges of the last year, has your credit taken an unnecessary hit? Here's Jolene Kent.
When Maria Alexander refinanced her home, she was hit with an unwelcome surprise.
I was shocked to see something wrong with the credit report, especially something that indicated we were under forbearance, which was absolutely false. We had made every single payment on time.
Complaints about credit report errors like Maria's more than doubled last year during the pandemic, triggered in large part by lenders incorrectly reporting some borrowers made loan payments late after they qualified for 6 months of delayed payments through the CARES Act.
It could be that it's showing that you have late payments where you actually should have none. It can show that you have loans that are counted twice against you. You could have other people's information on your credit report. And sometimes there can outright be fraud.
Experts recommend regularly check your credit on annualcreditreport.com. And if you see a problem, file a complaint with all three major credit bureaus through certified mail, creating a paper trail. And consider taking legal action if your request is denied. And Maria adds, pay close attention to any comments in your report, too, to minimize the headache.
The pandemic is stressful enough. And then to have this on top of it was just, it was very painful.
Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Up next for us, the changemakers blazing a trail in space. Finally tonight, our series, Changemakers and the Black Women Who Became Space Pioneers, Now Inspiring Others. Here's Rahama Ellis.
Taylor Richardson is on a mission that started with a dream.
I just thought I was a girl that wanted to go to space.
Just my drawings.
But the 17-year-old says it's hard for some to imagine that she could.
Did you ever feel like your interest in science was being pushed aside?
But there was a lot of people who looked down on me and always thought I couldn't do it.
Mae Jameson will be making her first trip in space today.
But history taught her a different lesson. In 1992, Dr. Mae Jemison stepped into the record books as the first African-American woman in space aboard the space shuttle Endeavour.
I was thinking about that little girl I had been on the south side of Chicago who just assumed that she would go into space.
Like Taylor, she defied expectations. For nearly 30 years, Dr. Jemison has worked teaching, lecturing, and writing to level the playing field for African-American women in science programs.
It's critical because we need all hands on deck, right?
Since her flight nearly 29 years ago, 11 other African Americans have flown into space. Currently, of 47 active astronauts, three are African American women. Taylor is doing her part to build those numbers. As a speaker and activist, she's raised money for books and sent kids to movies that showcased African American scientists.
If a kid can see it, they can be it.
What I'm interested in is that women, people of color, are able to bring their perspectives.
Taylor, do you feel that the sky is the limit for you?
Definitely. The universe, the sky. I feel like your mind is the limit. You can get anywhere with whatever you think.
Charting a course to expand what's possible on Earth and beyond. Rahima Ellis, NBC News.
Aiming for the stars. That's terrific. That's nightly news for this Wednesday. Thank you for watching. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.